In Nehemiah chapter 6, Nehemiah chapter 5, you've seen where Satan was attacking them from the outside, you know. He was trying to get them to get the people to fold. Because, listen, if he could get the people to fold, then the wall would stop being built, right? And so his goal was to have the wall to be stopped being built. And the people started going under, getting under attack and under pressure, and they were complaining. They were looking, they really started becoming very selfish and questioning God, and they didn't want to work. And so Nehemiah had to help them see, listen, Satan is attacking, and you got to stay the course. You've got to stay the course, because what Satan wants you to do is he wants you to stop working. He wants you to go down. So then that's chapter 5. Then we move to chapter 6, which is where we are at today. And in chapter 6, what we see is that Satan went from attacking his attacking the people to attacking him personally. Because the reality of it is, what is the best way to ruin this church? Attack the leader. Listen, you get rid of the pastor, the flock disappears. And so what's Satan trying to do here on this? He's trying to get rid of Nehemiah. Because he figures if he gets rid of Nehemiah, the building stops. The wall doesn't get built. Jerusalem is not protected. They don't come together as a people group again. And Satan is successful. That's what we see happening here in Nehemiah chapter 6. So if you have your Bible, open it up to Nehemiah chapter 6. And we're going to stay right here in this book. We're not going to bounce around. We're just going to break it down. Because I want you to see the attack of Satan. I want you to see that Satan doesn't care who you are. And if he can take you out, he will take you out. Don't turn that on. Thank you. And so, if he can, I don't need anything else to go wrong, brother. I appreciate your efforts, but next thing I know, the top will blow off or something. I don't know, man. Or the bottom will fall out and we'll be down there getting our hair cut. Well, you and I won't, but they will. And so, so what we see is that Satan attacks, and when he attacks, listen, he wants to take down a family. What do? Separate the leaders. Listen, if you can distract the leader of the house, whether it should be, always be the man, if you distract him, he doesn't take care of his family, guess what? Family falls apart. Listen, this here is a personal attack on Nehemiah, and of which I have felt since mid-December. Satan has personally attacked me right and left, attacked my integrity, attacked my character. I mean, just you name it. He's attacked this church. He's attacked some of you. Here's the crazy thing, and you guys got to grab this. I want to say this out loud, and I'm making up time for what's not happening on the computer. Here's what you got to realize. Ever since the new space has come available, this church has been attacked. Literally, from the time we were doing, you notice we were doing great. Everything was great. Nobody was sick. And then we found out in October, I believe it was October, that we get a new facility. And then all of a sudden, one right after another, just one attack after. And so when I read Nehemiah and then I look at us, I feel like I could have written this book. And some of you probably feel that way too. Every time you start growing closer to God, start actually getting some knowledge and your heart's right, and man, you feel like you're progressing, and maybe your marriage is coming back together because both of you are on the same page, really working to put it together because you've forgiven one another and you're pursuing righteousness. And so the minute you decide to pursue righteousness, here comes Satan. Maybe you want to get out of debt. Maybe because your debt is up to here and your paycheck is now down to here. And so you go, you know what? I want to get out of debt. And now you're working on getting out of debt and everything's going good. And all of a sudden, what's Satan do? Maybe you want to give some extra to the church to help with the rebuild. And Satan comes in and goes, bam, I don't give anything. And all of a sudden, you can't get out of debt because your car breaks down. Your refrigerator breaks down. Something goes awry, you know? I'm telling you, that's Satan. Anything to detract you from living righteously or doing for the church or giving to God, Satan wants to stop you. Well, let me say this out loud. He's not stopping me. Listen, he's not stopping Connecting Point. He's not stopping us, guys. He's going to try. And listen, when we look on in chapter 6 of how he tries, sometimes some of you are just going to shake your head because you're going to feel like you're right there. Because I know what's going on with a lot of you. He's going to try. And I'm not going to preach long today because the lights are out and you guys are going to want to go to sleep. And let me walk over here and read. I got my phone. We're going to look here in Nehemiah chapter 6. Listen, the first scheme, if you got your notes, the first scheme that we're going to look at is the assassination plot. The assassination plot. The first scheme that we're going to look at is the assassination plot. And since it's not up there, just guess and Google it when you get home. Assassination. A-S-S-A-S-S-I-N-A-T-I-O-N. Almost like Mississippi, huh? M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I. Anyway. All right. Listen, I'm in rare form today because I'm just waiting on, I don't know what could go, what else could go wrong? Don't ask that. Yeah, Dave, we're going to go out and all of our tires are going to be flat. Then I'm going to blame it on you. So here we're going to look. Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. It says, now, you guys don't have to read if you can't see, just look up here. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there were no breaks left in it, though at that time I had not hung the doors and the gates. So the only thing left of building this, of finishing the wall, was hanging the gates. They had to hang the gates. Now, mind you, these gates aren't little gates like we think of gates. These gates were huge. I mean, because they would open it up and let armies come in. You know, the whole army would be able to come through these gates. They weren't little gates. These were huge gates, so it took a great deal to hang them. And without a gate, Jerusalem was still exposed, wasn't it? Here in verse 2, that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me harm. So let's read 3 and 4, and then I'll go back. So I sent messengers to them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I have it and go down to you? But they sent me this message 4 times, and I answered them in the same manner. So here's what happened. You have Tobiah, and you have Sanballat, and you have Geshem, and they figure, okay, we couldn't distract the people and stop them from working, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take the people, and we're going to move our energy from the people, and we're going to go and focus strictly on Nehemiah. Let's take the leader down. Let's take the leader down. If we take him down, the people, they're not going to do anything anyway. And so 4 times they sent a letter to Nehemiah. Hey, I want you to come to Ono, the plains of Ono. Now, the plains of Ono were 25 miles away. Now, for you and I, we go, that's no big deal, because we jump in a car, 25 miles, we're there in 30 minutes, depending on how you drive. Some of you might make it in 20, some might make it in 40. But either way, you can be there in under an hour to the plains of Ono. Well, back then, it was a full day's journey. I mean, it took them 8 hours or more to get to the plains of Ono. And Nehemiah's thinking, man, why do they want me there? And so he would send a letter back to him saying, listen, I'm busy, I'm doing God's work, I can't come. And then they'd give him another one, and he'd send another one back 4 times. So the first one, it was assassination. Listen, if we can get him to the plains of Ono, which, by the way, was the area of Sanballat's, they said, you know what, we'll kill him. That's what we'll do. We will kill Nehemiah. So it was an assassination plot. And they figure, you know what, if we remove him from the scene, we take and get rid of him completely, the work is done, everything stops, we win, and the wall does not get fixed. Well, Nehemiah waited patiently to see if they were going to reveal their motives, and they do when we look in chapter or verse 5. So the second scheme that we're going to look at, the second scheme that we're looking at is slander. Okay, we couldn't kill him because he wouldn't leave the security of Jerusalem. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to slander him. Let's discredit this man. Let's take him down a few notches so all of a sudden these people will look at him and go, oh, we can't follow him. And so Satan gets them to start slandering. Look here in verse 5. Then Sanballat sent his servant to me as before the fifth time with an open letter in his hand, and it was written. And this is where the slander comes in. Are you ready for this? It is reported among the nations, and Geshem says, that you and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall that you may be their king. And you have also appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. Now these matters will be reported to the king. So here's what he's saying. You know what? We hear now you're just trying to get your own army going. You're going to be your own king. You're going to take over. Well, man, Nehemiah could be killed for that. So now they're spreading false rumors about him. Slander. And the interesting thing is, what I love, I didn't read, but if you look back here at the end of verse 7, they say this to him after they accuse him of trying to take over, trying to be the king, trying to do all that. In verse 7, it says at the very end, so come therefore and let us consult together. Listen, we care for you, Nehemiah. We love you, Nehemiah. So you come and listen, we're going to help you figure all this out. We'll consult. That way you don't get in trouble by the king. So they slander him and then act like they care. The reality is they don't care. And so they said, you know what, we'll consult together. We're going to help you, Nehemiah. We're going to try and figure this out. I get set back by some of this because, you know, some of the attacks on this church and on me personally have come from within. Now the good part is I deal with them. I don't run and hide. I go, okay, guys, let's talk about it. You know, where's it at? What's going on? And so we deal with it. It's the same thing going on here. It's Nehemiah only here. It's Nehemiah's peers. And his peers know people on the inside. And all of a sudden, they start hiring Jews to turn against Nehemiah. What a vicious cycle. You think as a soap opera, wouldn't you? You know, what is it, Days of Our Lives? How the World Turns. I don't know. Is that some of them? I know General Hospital. Soap operas are gone today, aren't they? How many remember soap operas? Yeah, how many watch soap operas? Oh, you're so busted. I see more. I don't. Days of Our Lives, man. Listen, what is that? What's that one? March? What is it? Marlena? She's got to be 90 years old. I'm telling you, she was on there when I was born. Married, too, with six kids. She's got to be 90. That's that Botox and stretching it all back, make her face look tight. I don't know. At any rate, so here we have slander. Well, you know what? Here's the thing. The first thing that the letters made it seem as if they had Nehemiah's welfare at heart, and we know that he didn't. And the second, they were attempting to get Nehemiah to respond out of fear. Oh, you know what? Let's instill fear, because what moves people? Fear. Man, I'm going to tell you what, you get people afraid, they'll do things that they normally wouldn't do. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to move Nehemiah, move the people out of fear. They're trying to put fear in them. And guys, we're kind of experiencing that with our government right now, aren't we? Hey, you know what? You will accept the homosexual lifestyle as being right, or else you'll go to prison for a hate crime. Well, that's trying to instill fear. You know, you'll do this, or else we'll put this law in place. You'll go to jail. You'll do this. That's instilling fear. And it works. Fear is an incredible motivator, isn't it? People won't quit smoking until they go visit the doctor, and the doctor says, it looks like you have cancer. All of a sudden, they can quit. Before that, oh, I can't quit. I got to have my cigarettes. Drink. Oh, you know what? You got your liver is about to shut. Oh, I can quit now. Fear is a great motivator, isn't it? And that's what they were trying to do here, was they were trying to use fear to move Nehemiah. And of course, Nehemiah just, he denies it. And he says, listen, you know what? I'm not trying. What you're saying is wrong. He goes in verse 9 over here. In 8, he says, then I sent him saying, no such things as you say are being done, but you invent them in your own heart. Listen, I'm going to tell you what. Your enemy, Satan, will move people to invent things in their heart. They will create lies. They will, and for whatever reason, who knows? But people will do that. I'm going to tell you, you need to be really careful because Satan, he's alive and well, and he's on a mission. And I want you to see at the end of 9, after he, in verse 9, he says, for they all were trying to make us afraid, saying their hands will be weakened in the work, and it will not be done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. You know what happened is Nehemiah immediately went into prayer. Immediately. He seen the attack, seen what was coming, and then he went into prayer. And then the third scheme is treachery. You guys like how fast I'm going through this, aren't you? Somebody say amen. There you go. I'm going to get you out of here before you snore anyway. Okay. You know, because that's that deep sleep part, you know. Never mind. The third scheme is treachery. I want you to see here that, and by the way, treachery is just a betrayal of trust. That's what it is. So they hire a man. Look here in verse 10. Afterward, I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was a secret informer, and he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. Indeed, at night they will come to kill you. All of a sudden, what they've done now, they couldn't get Nehemiah to leave, so now they hired a guy to claim he was a prophet, and tell Nehemiah, listen, they're going to kill you, so we got to go into the temple. But here's what you guys, well, okay, so the temple's a safe place to go. But you have to remember that in the Old Testament, only the priests could go in the temple. If anybody else went in the temple, they could be killed. God could kill them. They would defile the temple. And so Nehemiah knew that that's what was going on. And Nehemiah said, wait a minute, this can't be a prophet of God. It's got to be the prophet of Satan, my enemy, because the prophet of God would never ask a godly man to do something against God or against God's word. And here, that's what was happening. He's asking Nehemiah, go in the temple. You'll be safe in the temple. No, because God will kill me for defiling the temple. Only the priest could go in the temple. So all of a sudden, they're trying every scheme they can get and do, they're trying to make him fall. And guys, I'm telling you, don't think for a minute that you're above the attack of Satan. Don't think for a minute. Because Satan will attack you every way he can. He will come at you with daggers out. He's like a cat. I mean, cat might be a little worse, but he's like a cat. my cat men aren't here. But he'll come out with his claws out. What does he want to do, man? He just wants to take you down. And that's what's going on here. So they're trying to trick him now and saying that they're a man of God and you need to come in. I'm a prophet. Nehemiah sees this and he says, you know what? That's not going to happen. So the first thing that Nehemiah sees is a prophet would not violate God's own law. It just wouldn't happen. And so the second thing is that God would not ask Nehemiah to run. You know, if you read Ephesians, and it says that we're to put on the whole armor of God, have you realized that the whole armor of God is all frontal? There is nothing to protect our back. Nothing. Nothing for the back of us. I think the reason why, and obviously this, you're not going to find it in Scripture, I'm just saying I think the reason why there's nothing to protect our back is because we're not supposed to run. God says, listen, I've got your back. You just keep pursuing forward for the things of me. And Nehemiah understood that. And Nehemiah said, you know what? God, listen, if he was a true prophet, he's not going to have me go in and defile the house of God, because God's already said only the priest can go in there. And the other thing is, God's not going to have me run at a time when I need to be working, when I need to be doing God's work. And you know, I'll be honest with you. Obviously, the things happening here, the things happening down in the other space that we're trying to get fixed and put together. You know, sometimes I've went home and I would tell Sherry, I say, you know, I need a break. This has been continuous. It's been ongoing attack since mid-December. I just need a break. I want God's hand on me, and I want God's hand on Satan, and I want God to take Satan and turn his head and go, you walk that way for a while, and you leave John alone over here. You hear me? You leave Connecting Point Church alone. Guys, Satan's not going to leave you alone. If he's leaving you alone, you're not doing anything for God. You're no threat. Listen, Satan's not going to go after the one who's doing nothing for God, because he's got you right where he wants you. You're just sitting there. You're not progressing. You're not making a difference. Satan says, listen, you're no threat to me at all. But man, for those that are a threat, I'm going to go after. So I hope I didn't just discourage you from doing something for God. But I'm going to tell you this. Through all of this, money has still been coming in for the remodel. As a matter of fact, I got a message yesterday that said, listen, I will match dollar for dollar your church up to $2,500. So if you want to give a dollar, you're now giving two. I've gotten phone calls from people I haven't seen in a while that just said, hey, listen, I don't know why, but God's put me on your heart and I'm praying for you. And God told me to tell you to hang in there. Just hang in there. Then I got another, how many's got Twitter? Anybody got Twitter? All right, yeah, you can raise your hand up, girl, I'm with you. I have a Twitter account, and so if you ever want to follow me on Twitter, I'm not that exciting. It's usually a couple a day, and it's at John Westfall, just a little plug in. And free advertisement. And so I got a tweet that said, isn't that a tweet or is it a twit? I don't know. If you got Twitter, do you have a tweet or do you have a twit? I have a tweet. and it said, listen, with every storm, the rain comes to an end. There's an end to the rain with every storm. As I'm going through this, God is constantly encouraging, constantly saying, you know what? Satan, he's a roaring lion. He's looking for somebody to devour. I'm just going to tell you right now, I want everybody looking up here. Nobody's sleeping now. Everybody wake up. It's like hypnotized. Everybody wake up. It's dark. We're going to have fun today, right? I'm not backing up. I'm not turning to the left, and I'm not turning to the right. We're going to keep plowing ahead. We got work to do. We got work for God to do. And any Christian that's not doing the work for God, you're backing up. Satan's got you. He's got you. Nehemiah said, you know what? You're not going to get me. And not only are you not going to get me, I recognize the attack. I recognize where it's coming from. And I'm not going to go into that temple. I'm not going to go and leave my work, because God wouldn't have me leave the work. He wouldn't have me desecrate the temple. And I'm not going to give up on what God's called me to do. I'm going to get it done until God calls me to go somewhere else to do it somewhere else. I think what happens today is some Christians, this is going to sting just a touch, but it's okay. Some of you Christians are wimps, you're whiners, you're crybabies. You've chosen the path of least resistance, like water. Well, let me tell you what happens to water that follows the path of least resistance. Eventually, it'll hit a spot where it quits flowing, right? Somebody say yes? Thank you. And so, eventually it reaches a spot where it will quit flowing. And then guess what happens when it can't flow anymore? Guess what happens when all of a sudden, if the rain quits, there's no more flowing into it. It dries up or it becomes stagnant and it dies. The thing about life, guys, is either you are growing or you are dying. Spiritually, you are either growing or you are dying. If you're doing nothing for God, you are dying. If you are doing nothing for God, but in your head you have convinced yourself that you are dying, and Satan is getting the victory. I just want you to see that Nehemiah, listen, Nehemiah, and by the way, you know, we say the wall was built in 52 days, right? Well, guess how long it took Nehemiah from start to finish to build this wall? Almost a year. And you go, now, wait a minute, Pastor. You're messing with my head because the lights are out. No. Here's what you got to remember. He hears about it. And when he hears about the wall and that it needs to be done, there was a two-month lapse there because he hears about it in December, Kislev. And so then for 2 months, 2 to 3 months, he's praying about it. And then the king says, hey, what's bothering you? And so then he tells the king. Then he's got a 2 to 3 month travel period to get to Jerusalem. And then he's got to get things together. And I mean, listen, by the time it's all done, and then they work on this wall at 52 days, listen, that's just shy of 3 months. So by the time he heard about the wall, got things together, and got to Jerusalem to start rebuilding the wall, and by the time they finished the wall, it was from December to September. Because it was estimated to be finished on September 20th. Well, what would be according to our calendar? And so, guys, listen, from the time, for almost a year, Nehemiah was getting beat up. And he hung in there. He did what God called him to do. And listen, when it got so bad and his enemies were attacking, look what he says here. Verse 14. My God, remember Tobiah and Sanballat. You think this is going to be good, don't you? Remember Tobiah and Sanballat according to these works, and the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets who would have made me afraid. Here's what he's saying. God, remember my enemies and take care of them. He wasn't praying for their deliverance. He was praying for them to be delivered away. And I think society says that we can't have enemies. I'm going to tell you what, we have enemies. And as a Christian, you better recognize who they are and then just take a stand, because it's not going to be pretty. And not everybody's going to like you. Not everybody's going to approve of you. Not everybody's going to agree with what you're doing. It's just not going to be pretty. So you line up with God, with the Word of God, and say, okay, God, is this what you want me to do? Because the enemy is going to attack no matter what. And say, okay, God, I'm going to be faithful. And then you do it. It gets really, really simple. And then the last point, which there's nothing to fill in, it says Nehemiah's completion of the project was 52 days. It was on the 25th day of Elul, which was about September 20th. It took him from December to September to actually start the process of rebuilding the walls. And in that time, I'm telling you, Nehemiah got beat up. And I'm going to tell you, if you're going to do anything for God, you're going to get beat up. Expect it. Didn't Jesus warn us and say, listen, they hated me before they hated you, and you're going to be persecuted. Don't find it shocking when you do something right and then they paint a picture to make it look bad. Don't be shocked. Just keep doing right. Guys, I'm telling you, we live in a day right now where we need to start doing something for Jesus. And you're going to be attacked and you're not going to be liked, so get some thick skin, deal with it, grow up, mature. And some of you go, I don't like that. Well, if you won't, the only people that, listen, my pastor back home, obviously, you guys know in North Carolina. By the way, the crew that came up and worked this past week was really awesome. But what I found humorous was those that did take the time to come and meet them had a little bit of a hard time understanding them. I did not realize how redneck North Carolina sounded until they came back. And it's been, 3 years since I've been there or whatever. I went, wow. It was it was like, hey, how y'all doing? It was funny. And then there was one Jack who, man, he was just a bull. He just went to work. But you had to listen real close to him. And you couldn't lip read either because he wasn't good at that. So it was just funny. But, man, they came and they just worked and they worked and they did great. But listen, God's going to help you if you pursue to do God's work. He will, man. He'll put people in your path. He'll remind you that what you're doing is right and it's good and to keep it up. Guys, we need to mature as Christians and we need to get busy doing God's work and not worry about what others say or think or do. We just got to know that we're right with God and keep going for Him. So if you're a Christian and you've been using excuses to not do anything, I'm praying that God just picks you up and puts a foot right square on your butt and says, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? The laborers are few and the harvest is plenty. Why are you sitting? What are you doing? If you're here today, I just want you to realize this. Satan doesn't care about you. He's no respecter of person, and he will take you down if he can. So if you're getting beat up because you're doing something good, keep doing it. Keep doing it. But also recognize that Satan's trying to sidetrack you too, to keep you away from God. Don't give him any more victories. Just don't do it. Do something for God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to wrap it up. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for your love. I thank you for your guidance and direction. And Lord, I know that the trials refine us. Lord, I know the trials make us stronger. Lord, I know that trials put us in a place, Lord, where we hold on to you tighter and tighter. But Lord, we also grow stronger and stronger. And Lord, I'm just asking right now, Lord, that you would get Satan away from us in this building for a while. And Lord, that we could catch our breath and keep moving forward and get this building project done. But Lord, more than anything, Lord, I'm asking that you would touch every Christian. Everyone that says, I love Jesus. Lord, I'm asking that you would touch their heart to step up and start serving you like they're supposed to. Lord, and then when the attack comes, Lord, I'm praying that you would give them the strength to stand firm through the storm. Lord, we know the storm's coming. Lord, we know there's usually two types of people, those who are in the storm and those who are going to be in a storm. And so, Lord, keep us strong and keep our eyes on you as we face the storm of Satan. Lord, his unrelenting efforts, Lord, are going to gain no ground with us. Lord, we're going to pursue on and we're going to make a difference, Lord. We're going to reach this area. Lord, there's so many lives that need to know Jesus. And so, Lord, help us to make that difference. Lord, I thank you for the book of Nehemiah and how it has helped us so much, Lord, as we're walking through the building project and just everything that's going on. And Lord, we ask your hand would be on that and on us. In Jesus' name, amen.